Again, coming to sharper focus on some of the points that we've been discussing, the nature of Zeila in terms of Kofer v'Pikadon and Kofer v'Milveh, the classic Zeila and these other Zeilos that also have halachas of Zeila. And at the end of the day, coming back to Rashi and Rashi's point that when Mishnah says Zeilos requires Mumchin, we're not discussing Lava v'lo Shilem, Lomik v'Gaz and Dimu v'lo Sanitna. So just some of the rough points that we've said so far, and then we'll try to bring it into a different direction. Rashi begins by defining Zeilos, Kofer v'Pikadon, d'mishashalach bo yad habigazlin. V'chein achotef miyad chaberu habigazlin. So the first diuk that we had in the Rashi, d'mishashalach bo yad habigazlin, sounds like Rashi is discussing a case of a kofer v'Pikadon who also did shlichas yad. And the question of the Aruch HaNer is, what do you need both kofer v'Pikadon and shalach bo yad? Seemingly, each one by itself makes gzela, as we know. The Ran, in fact, has it that way, two different cases. The Aruch HaNer wanted the Magia and Rashi, that Rashi is really giving us two cases and then a total of three cases, because then you have the case of classic gzela. But we saw that other Rishonim quote the Rashi exactly like we have it. So it sounds like Rashi, in fact, is not giving us two cases. So what does Rashi mean? The Mishasholach Boyad, Havi Gazlin. Who needs Sholach Boyad? You have Kofer V'Pikadon already. The din is, you're Gazlin and you're Chayv Ba'onsin. So we had a Shtikl Torah yesterday that we saw that there may be a difference between Kofer V'Pikadon without Shlichas Yad, where although the din is Yochai Ba'onsin, but you're not actually Kona the Chefetz to the extent that there's Kenyan of Zeila, and there could be Nafkaminas, you're still a Shomer in a sense, there could be a Lach of Toni Tainas Ganev later on, if you tie a Gneva afterwards, you have to pay Kefel, if you're a Shomer, you're still a Shomer. Another Nafkamina, or Kibbe Eger pointed out in Shulchan Aruch, if after the Kofer B'Pikadon, the price went up, and you were Poshea, and then it got destroyed. So according to the standards of becoming a Gazlin, you have to pay the price at the time of Kofer V'Pikadon. That's a Shasak Zeila. The rule is, Kofer V'Pikadon Mishamik Shasak Zeila. But if you assume that the Chive Shomer are still in existence, so then you have to pay as a Poshea based on the later price when it was destroyed through your negligence. Which means basically that Kofer V'Pikadon is not a total Zeila, it has aspects of Zeila, but it doesn't supersede the pre-existing liabilities of Shomer. Okay. That is interesting in itself. We had the Yukim and the Rambam that support that idea. Why would this be helpful for Rashi, says Rav David Pavarsky, Apanavij, and the Rav, both from Achavin to this Mahalach in Rashi, that the point of Rashi is, it's not enough to be Kofer V'Pikadon in terms of the halacha of the Mishnah that you need Mumchin. For Gzelos, it's not enough because there's still a basis to mechayev him as a shomer, even after Kofer V'Pikadon. So there are cases where if the person wanted to be tovei him based on shomer, like a case of Kivager's case in terms of a pshia that happened later on, or if he's a shomer sachar, it could be a kineva that happened later on. You don't have to come mitzad gazlin to make him pay. You can come mitzad shomer. And if that's the case, you don't need mumchin. You could still go to Hadyotos. So therefore, in order to give us the halacha of gzelos, that it needs mumchin, then Rashi needed also shaleach yad, because shaleach yad is different than kofer v'pikadon. Shaleach yad makes you an absolute gazlin, and no longer is there a din of shomer. More or less, that was the approach. It's very interesting for itself, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really fully solve Rashi for a number of reasons. First of all, no. What was the problem in Pshat of Rashi? First of all, what? You don't need Kofer V'Pikadon. Just say Shalech Yad. If at the end of the day, Kofer V'Pikadon won't do it for you, there are situations that you'll need to come on to that Kofer V'Pikadon will not have you the chiyuv of shomer, because if her ones, for example, you're not going to chayv for shomer. But if the whole point is that there are, you know, that we want to cover our tracks, that there's no way to go to Hedyotos for any kind of Din Torah here. If you need Shalech Yad. So just say Shalech Yad. You don't need Kofar B'Kadosh. That's one major problem. And then the other diuk that I had, it wasn't an absolute diuk. I was arguing with a rehearsal this morning about this point. The Lashon of Rashi that I thought was compelling, I still think it's very meduic that way. He thought, nope, it's not necessarily a tiyufta on our salvation. The Lashon of Rashi, Bava Kama there, Rashi's Lashon, remember I read it to you, if you looked it up, you saw what I'm referring to. On the Din of Kofar B'Pikadon, listen again to the language. Nasal of Gazgan, Mishas Kfira, the afal pishel nishba, fine. Mikan ve'elach, says Rashi, ein lo din de shomer chinam, ela chay ve'onsin im yeones. So how would Rav Salvechik, how would the Rav have to read the Rashi? Ein lo din shomer chinam, ela chay ve'onsin im yeones. Meaning, he doesn't have din shomer chinam with regard to onsin. That's the point. He becomes chay ba'onsin. So you don't just look at him as a shomer chinam who's part of ba'onsin. You look at him as a gazlan. So he's chay ba'onsin. Is he still a shomer chinam for whatever halachas? Could be. To me, it doesn't sound right. So why is Rashi need to tell us the point of shomer chinam not being a shomer chinam regarding onsin? You know a shomer chinam is part of onsin. You're only confusing us by telling me that he's no shomer chinam. Furthermore, the language doesn't say Engel Shemachinam regarding Onsin. It's not what Rashi says. Engel Shemachinam that he's parted from Onsin. Rashi says Engel Shemachinam Elachayev Onsin Ne'anes. It's like Rashi saying two things. That with the Kofar B'Pikadon, Engel did the Shemachinam, period, or comma, semicolon, as you wish, Elachayev Onsin. In other words, they go together. Which is exactly against what we're saying here, that is still there's still pending whatever basis of liability of Shomer existed before, still exists subsequent to Kofar. Rashi seems to be saying, as I read it, that the Engel did the Shomer Chinam. So that's to me another strong deal that this can't be Rashi. Rashi's Kavana here, if Rashi himself holds otherwise, could be the Rambam and Tosis, other Rishonim might disagree on this point. But Rashi would seem to me that Rashi is saying very strongly that there's no longer a Din of Shomer Chinam. Okay, and Bechlal, you know, it doesn't sound like that's Rashi's Kavana was, just for the sake of taking, covering his tracks in a particular case, that in that case, you could still have gone to him, Mitzad Shomer. Okay, so what do we suggest at the end? That the Mishashoach Bo Yad is not really a new case at all. The case of Rashi is giving us cover because by saying the Mishach Bo Yad, Rashi is just trying to enlighten us and sharpen for us the point about the Chiyuv Gzeilah of Kofar B'Pikadon, and specifically as distinct to differentiate it from what? From the end of the Rashi, what? The Rav of Roshilim, which for now we'll call Kofar B'Milvah. Namely, when it comes to the end of the Rashi, Rav of Roshilim, Kofar B'Milvah, we're not going to call it Gzeilos. And when it comes to Kofar B'Kadosh, we're going to call it Gzeilos. In order to appreciate why that's so, what makes Kofar B'Kadosh distinct from the other case, Rav of Roshilim, Kofar B'Milvah, we add the point of Mishashoach Bo Yad Chavi Gazlin. Not as if to say that we're talking about a case of a person of Kofar B'Kadosh, and then he was Shalech Yad. We're talking about, you could say, a hypothetical Shalech B'Yad, not in this very case of Kofar B'Kadosh. The hypothetical Shalech B'Yad. Why is that relevant? How does that help us? So he could say at least two different formulations. To make it clear, I think maybe a few people didn't quite catch how he said it yesterday. Either you could say it as that the halacha, that Kofar B'Kadosh is a gazlin, is in some way parallel to what we know about Shalech Yad being a gazlin. Because in a way, Shalech Yad is not the classic gazlin. The classic gazlin is that Rashi continues with, Chotev Miyad Chaveiro. And that means that it came to my possession from the very outset with a sense of Shalo Kedin, that I came and I grabbed it from you. Here, it came to me originally, B'Toras Shmira. And then subsequently, I was Shalech Yad to take it for myself. And yet, that's the halacha, the Torah's Machadish, within the context of a shomer, we can have another expression, manifestation of Gzeilah. And Rashi says, you know what? Kofar B'Kadosh is something similar to that. That the Kofar B'Kadosh becomes a gazlan, even though it doesn't quite match in a perfect way the classic Gzeilah. So all Rashi means is, It's gazlin in the same way that mishashalach bo yad avi gazlin. Okay, that's one way to explain it. Again, not the actual case of shlichus yad being what happened here. It's a hypothetical idea that helps to explain the point of kofar b'kadam being zela. Kofar b'milva wouldn't have that special din. Kofar b'kadam has it, just like we know that that shlichus yad has it. Maybe to put it a little bit better or more karav l'pshat, to formulate it a little differently, the point being that mishashalach bo yad, the hypothetical idea, is the exact contrast to which words at the end of the Rashi? Nova lo tzadnit, that means you had a right to take that money. You had a right to spend that money. Mishashalach bo yad is a way of saying you have no right to take that chefetz. So the din of shlichus yad that exists out there is indicative of the fact that you have no rights over this chefetz. And that's why when you're kofar on such a chefetz that has in it that association of mishashalach bo yad avi gazlin, that when you're kofar on such a chefetz, that becomes gzela. And this would work perhaps very nicely with the Maharam's take on the end of the Rashi, that when Rashi is explaining that kofar b'milva, as we explained the last part of the Rashi, is not gzela and not part of the din of the Mishnah of gzelos b'shlosha mumchin, it's as the Maharam explains it, alam de shavar in the Maharam, that by being kofar b'milva, I'm not taking anything from you. I'm validating that I'm not going to pay you that something which I owe you, a chov. Chov is not a concrete thing. It's an abstract idea. A pikadon is a concrete object. When I'm kofar b'pikadon, that's considered gzela. That is viewed as a ma'aseh gzela, if you will. The kfira b'beizdin, assuming it's b'beizdin, pashtus, it's b'beizdin, I'm kofar b'beizdin against your pikadon, that's gila, I'm taking the object through that. But b'milva, what am I taking? You gave me money, I have a right to spend it. I owe you to replace the money that you gave me, that amount. But that's not called gzela. M'milva lo tzadnitna. What's the litmus test? What's the great indicator? What brings us to that recognition that a kofar b'kadon can be viewed as gzela? The fact that mishashalach bo yad havi gazlin. So understand how we're reading the Rashi. It's not the case of shalach bo yad. It's again, it's a way of enlightening us to understand the nature of kofar b'kadon being a gazlin. Again, one way, another way, but the common denominator is that the kasha of the Aruch HaNer falls away. Okay, that's in terms of the first part of the Rashi. Now we have the end of the Rashi to deal with on its own. Yes, question. Rachel.
Going back to the reading of Rav Soloveitchik, the Chidush HaAnshei Shem says we started off with Kofar Pikadon because that's the Makor and the Pesukim for the three of the Rim, whatever.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't necessarily work with the way the Rav is understanding this, because doesn't that mean that you need three Mumchet for Kofar Pikadon automatically?
For that, we have to wait to Amid Beis and see exactly what the story is that we're learning at the three Mumchin. So that, we have to read more specifically. There's no way two ways about it. It originates in the Parsha of Shomrim. Exactly what was the time of Rashi's Lashon Amid Beis is that the time is Yoshalech Yad, so we'll have to discuss a little bit on this in Rashi Amid Beis.
Right.
What's the Din Udvar and why the time is on the Shomer and the Mafkid?
But according to the Anshei Shem, which is, this is Dafka, why Rashi starts this way, with confirmed because of this specific case.
Okay. It will depend on how you read the Din Torah in the three. It's clearly not coming from Beis Chayes Miyad Mitzvah. It's coming from Pasuk Shomer. Now we have to revisit this a little bit on Amid Beis, but that's why he's saying that the Rashi can begin with that case. I found other Achronim say the same thing. Magalas Hayam, others. It's a simple answer. What Rashi began with that. Question, yeah.
In defense of Rav Soloveitchik, the Gemara of Bava Kama or Rashi, doesn't he say Ein lo din shomer chinam? So, in fact, he says din shomer chinam, doesn't that imply that? Meaning, he still is a shomer chinam, just those rules that he paid.
I'm not branding you anything if you disagree with my pshat and Rashi. You know, you can look at it again. I read it. I don't see how. It's a big dochek to try to read Rashi as.
Why do you say
ain't lo din de shomachinam? Yeah, that. No, That's the point. The whole issue is din.
He's not a shemachinam.
No. That's the point. Okay. The din shemachinam is the halacha of shemachinam, but not just about onsen. In other words, like Rabbi Kivega is the case. If it be pusher later on and the price went up, do you pay the higher price because you can be tovei him for pshia as a shomer, and then you pay for the time that it got ruined, or you know whatever nafkamina. It could be enough to me that Tony China's gun. If you turn around later and you'll say it was stolen, and then you have to pay kefel, that's the tosis that they quote, that you could be chayiv as a Tony China's gun if you're still considered a shomer. Mashi could be disagrees on this. So the issue has to do with dinim.
No, meaning he could not have the dinim of shomer chino, but he could still be a shomer
chino. That means, what does it mean?
I mean, the dinim are the
shomer chino. It's about the dinim of shomer chino. That's synonymous.
The
dinim
of
shomer chino
are like the technicalities and rules that come along
okay,
with Shomer Chinam, because he's a Gazlan, so those are...
Yeah, again, if you don't say Rashi means specifically Chiyav Onsin, Engel Dinu Shomer Chinam, El Chayav Onsin. Sounds like, to me, two different thoughts. Engel Dinu Shomer Chinam, El Chayav Onsin, to be honest. Again, maybe I'm being too much in Rashi. I'm not saying it's, there's no way to read Rashi otherwise. Pashtus, the Lashon of Rashi, knowing everything we know, that you will read the Rashi, how it strikes me. Anyway, we won't nitpick, okay? Let it be. In any case, the Pshat has weaknesses besides for the Rashi in Bava Kamma. Okay, so we had maybe a better way of being, and I found Rabbi Sarfati called me last night and told me that someone, maybe he in the Shia or someone in the Beis Medrash, found it in a Sefer that's Rav Gorovitz in England, who wrote a Sefer called Anfei Eres. Anyone is here? Is familiar with this? Anyway, so I did have to look it up. Ozra Chachma has a Kuntris, the whole Sefer is a Gnevei Gzeila. He has a section that deals with Oshek and Gezel and all these wonderful things that we've been dancing around. And finally now, during lunch, I found the footnote. He called me again at Rabbi Sapatin and he told me what page it's on. I found the footnote and Hitaka says the Pshat that we spoke out, that Rashi just means it as a simen. The fact that I'm not allowed to be Shaleach Yad, that's what shows us that you're considered a Gazan when you're Kofer B'Kadon, as opposed to by a Milbel, like the Maran, basically. All right, but there's another issue to keep in the mind, back of our minds. Maybe we'll come back to this at the end, to read Rashi, but there was another reading of Rashi, at the end of Rashi. So what does Rashi say? That love of Elo Shilem is not called a gazlan. Why? So the pshat of the Maram is that it's not a maisek zela. It's not zela. You didn't take something from the person. You concretize the fact that you're refusing to pay him something that you owe. So that wouldn't be called zela. Kofer b'pikadon is a chefetz right now that through your kfira you are keeping it from him. That comes under Gzeila. But not being Kofer b'milvah. According to the Maram, it shouldn't matter whether you can find a rationalization for why he's Kofer b'milvah, or that he really intends to pay, or there's no rationalization. What is that called, the rationalization idea? That he really wants to pay, but he's trying to stall for time. What do we call that? Ishtamut. Kamishtamut, the Gemara uses that expression, and Rashi associates that with the din that Kofer ben Milveh is kosher le'edus. We don't brand him a Rasha de Chamas, a person who has committed an Aveira, even though it's not Aveira per se of Yesh B'Malkis, but it has to do with money, so that itself is the basis to pasul him le'edus. But that's true by Kofer ben Pikadon, but not for Kofer ben Milveh, and the reason given is Milvelot Sanitna. And Rashi explains that that's the idea. That you really need you spent the money and you really want to pay back, you just don't have money available to pay back. And that's the reason why you're kasher le'edus. Now the Maram is learning that Rashi's point of love of Elo Shilem is not a gazlin, is because you didn't steal. There's no, you could say, ma'isek zela here. It's abstract, the chov. That's nothing to do with ishtamute. So what do you need the ishtamute reason? Where does that fit in? Kasher le'edus because of ishtamute. And Rashi says it's gzeila. It's not gzeila because milvelot sanitna, which is a different idea, that there was nothing that you took. There are those achronim that actually read Rashi differently, not the way the Maram learned the end of the Rashi. How did they read the Rashi Mivulot Sanitna? It's exactly pointing to that Gemara of Kofer be Milve is what? Kasher Le'edus, and Rashi explains why Kasher Le'edus, Rashi in Bamitsi that we read, because Milvelot Sanitna, so therefore, because you spent the money, you had the right to spend the money, and now you don't have other money to pay, and therefore you really want to pay, and therefore you Kasher Le'edus, and that's what Rashi means, that's why you're not a Gazlan. That's why you don't need Mumche, because of Milvelot Sanitna. That's exactly the point, Ishtamute. Rashi doesn't say Ishtamute, he says the reason that explains Ishtamute. That's how some Achronim read the Rashi. Which raises an interesting point, which is, we're going to segue into this. So first of all, according to the Maharam, so like, why did Rashi have to say something different? The Gemara says Ishtamute. So it could be there's nafka mina, because even if you don't have Ishtamute, you still are not called a gazgan for this halacha. Why wouldn't there be Ishtamute? Whatever the case, maybe the money is still here, you haven't spent it. Maybe that's no longer, you can't say Ishtamute, you have the money here. Others would argue, no, you need this money for your pet project, so it's still possible Ishtamute. Okay, you can debate the point. But according to Maram, it's not because of the halacha of Ishtamute, it's simply not called Zeh. And the other way to read Rashi is Rashi means the very point of Ishtamute. According to Maram, Rashi is talking about a case where you don't have Ishtamute. When you say there's no gzeila, in what sense is it not gzeila? The Torah says lo sigzol. So did you or did you not violate lo sigzol? I mean, the context here is whether you need mumchen. Gzeila has a lot of different components. There's the lav of lo sigzol, there's kinyan gzeila, that you don't have to pay back the chefetz if it's not the same as when you stole it, changed. There's chiyuv own sin, as we've seen. And there's a halacha, gzeilus needs mumchen. I mean, so like, what's the relationship between the various aspects of the notion of gzeila? I was at a chasna last night with some chasheva people after the chuppah. So I saw Kalman Epstein, Mashiva Shara Torah, and Moshe Brown from Sheba Far Rockaway. So we went over to them. And I posed the following question. I said, Kofer b'milveh is kasher le'edus. What's the pshat? Is it that because ishtamute, because you really want to you really want to pay, but you're just delaying because you don't have the money handy. So is the pshat that you didn't do lo sigzol because of ishtamute, because you rationalize it, you did not, it's not a ver of lo sigzol. Or is the pshat, it's a lo sigzol violation, because ishtamuti doesn't take away the lo sigzol, but it's not enough to brand you a pasul eidus. Because since it's a horas heter, you're more a heter, why you're not paying right now? So therefore, you're not considered to be a rasha gabi psul eidus for what's considered rasha the chamas, because of the fact that in your mind, it's you really want to pay, you're really a good guy. What does it mean? I'm sure there must be rias. But I just ask him literally on the cuff, on the fly, So sure enough, Moshe Brown responded first, and he said, absolutely, it's lo sigzol. Just because of ishtamute, you did lo sigzol. You violate gzeila, but you're not pasuleidus. And Rav Kalman turns around and says, no, I think it wasn't even lo sigzol. So I just figured I would share that with you. Okay, now you go bring rice, Now we have to take it to the next level. These two big Yush Tamid Chachamim that right away, they were thrown, with the question, and this is their initial reaction was totally different. Okay, so you have to be Mavara. The truth is, I did find a little bit of a beer on this, just to go a little bit out of order. I was thinking about it. Perek Yud Aleph of Schirus, we'll soon get to the details, but there is a Kesed Mishnah there that seems to say, if you read it correctly, that if someone is Masheh, the payment, that would not be called gzeila. No, with intention to pay, but right now I'm pushing off, I'm delaying the payment. So could be it's mashma that it's not called gzeila. If he really wants to pay, but right now I'm stalling, maybe it's not called gzeila. Anyway, keep this in the back of your minds. The point is, we have gzeila on many different levels. Rashi's words would seem to indicate love of the Loshilein is not called gzeila. question is, in what sense is not called gzela? Is it lo sigzol, but it's not gzelos for purposes of our din? I found one of the gedolei Rashi Shiva, Rav Michal Feinstein, son of the Briska Rav, in the Sefer Chiddush Yechiel Michal, says, if I have it here, maybe. You know something? Of course it's gzela, with some C. Kofar ben Milva is a gazlan, right? Elamai, what? There's no halacha mumchim, because there was no maisik gzela. Yeah. Chiddush Shiva ben Yechiel Michal. Love of Einam Esharim, over below sigzo. Of course. Aye, we have a Rashi Sanhedrin. He's going to prove it. See why he proves it. Oshik Chazachir is lo sigzo. There's no be'en. It's still lo sigzo. Even if it's a chi of mammon that I'm denying, it's lo sigzo. Gabe dina de gzelos boi mumchin boi maise gzelo mamash. And not just the Isser of lo sigzo. Lo sigzo there is. Rashi never said anything about not being lo sigzo. Maybe cautious on this, right? But this is actually something that he's not the only one to say this. When Rashi ends up by saying there's no din of mumchin, it's not called gzelos, in what respect is it not gzelos? He's assuming it's gezel, it's lavdelo sigzel. What it doesn't have, and he defines it doesn't have a maisa gzela, is the reason why it doesn't go into the category of gzelos for the din of Mishnah Sanhedrin Beis Amid Aleph. Yeah?
Can we have a Rashi there for the Torah say that it's not gezel?
Yes, which Rashi? Go ahead.
Which
one? Bamitsia. That's true. That's going to be a kasha. That's going to be a kasha. I agree with you. I do want to show you that it's not, he's not the only one to say this. The Avnei Nezer, Choshe Mishpat Simen Aleph, one paragraph in the middle of it, quotes the Rashi that says, Kofer b'kadon, Mishach b'nik v'gazlan, Avoy Kofer b'milveh, he quotes it as, Kofer b'milveh lo nik v'gazlan, d'muvah lo tzon nitna, b'tzarech l'hovin, he asks the kasha. There's a Gemara above Mitzia, Kuf Yad Aleph. This is the quoted by the Magid Mishnah on the Rambam that we'll go back to in a minute. The Rambam in Hilchos Gzelos in the beginning of Hilchos Gzelos. But what does the Gemara say about Mitzia Kuf Yad Aleph? Kovesh Tzchar Sachir over below Sigzo. What's Kovesh Tzchar Sachir? What is it? What is it referred to? Osasha. Good. Oshek. But the Gemara says that that's also a violation of Lo Sigzo. And the Chinuch makes this whole hesber why the Torah uses different languages, but really you get all these affairs. So of course you get an affair with sigzel if you deny payment that you owe, wages. Is there a davar be'en here? It's wages that I owe you. It's not a davar be'en. And yet the Gemara calls it lo sigzel. So how in the world could Rashi say that love of lo shilem is not gzela? Before she Gemara. The Rambam paskins it too by Kovis Chasachia. The Rambam says, that's the Rambam Schirus Perik Yud Aleph, Koa Kovis Chasachir Ki Ilu Notel Es Nafsho. This is a pasuk in this week's parasha. Shenema Be'elof Unosi Es Nafsho. The Over Be'arba As Horas Ve'esse Mishim Bal Tashok Mishim Bal Tigzo Mishim Lo Solin. So there's an Aveira of Lo Sigzo by someone who, if you deny your employee their wages. So what? There was a nice gzela of a chayfetz? No, but that's a gemara that says that it's also the same. It's all, you can pile on all different isurim to the same thing. They're quoting this gemara in Bamitsia Kuf Yud Aleph. The gemara has different ways to formulate what is oshik, what is gezel, and at the end of the day, Amar Rava Amar, right before the Mishnah Kuf Yud Aleph in Bamitsia. Zehu Oshek, Zehu Gezel, the Lama Chilkon Hakasav Lava Rabbi Shnei Lavin. Oshek Gezel, it's all the same. And the Torah just kind of gives you different words, so that when you do one, you get this plus the other one. You do the other way. In other words, it sounds like there might be a more technical Pshuto Shel Mikra definition for each. But then again, you do that, you get both of theirs. That's what Rava says in Bamatzir Kuf Yud Aleph. And that's why the Rambam can paskin hilchos shechiras, that if you kovei shechiras, you violate l'siksa. So, Fekti Avnei Nezer, how did Rashi say that love of v'lo shilem is not called gezel? But the Gemara says that you violate l'siksa if you oshik shechiras. How is kofer ben milveh any different than a what? Than a kovei shechiras? Yeah, Mordechai.
It's clear that there's a difference between being over lo sigzal and the halachic status of gazlan, because if somebody steals something and isn't caught by witnesses and there's no proof that he's a gazlan, then he's not called a gazlan halachically.
Okay, so you could say that. Say better. Is there an example of something where you wouldn't have halachas of zela, but you violate lo sigzal? Let me take an example. If you steal something, good. No, hashava. Or, another example, karka. The Rambam says mefurish that by karka there's an isser, lav of l'sigzo. But there's no halacha of hashava zela. All those dinim of hashava don't apply. So the Avnei Nezer says, basically that's what you have to say for Rashi. Kavanas Rashi says to Avnei Nezer, again, we'll have to know if this stems with all the Rashis that we'll see. Kavanas Rashi, the nehid, the over below sigzo. When you have something, like the N, a concrete something, it's not just that there's a little sigzo when you steal it, there's also a chiyuv of a heshiv on that concrete davar mesuyam. However, if it's not a davar mesuyam, there's no halacha of hashava. He brings a Gemara. Also, by Mitzia Memches, it says in the pasuk of the Heshiv. What does it say in that pasuk that we quoted yesterday in Shir, at the end of Parshas VaYikra, Parshas Shuas Apikadon, Ashem Gzelos. So, the Chichesh Ba'Miso, the Pikadon of the Sumesiyat, the Heshiv is a Gzelos a Gazal. Anyway, so in connection to that pasuk, the Gemara says that the only time there's a chiyuv karban shvua by halva, because there's a chichish over sumas yad, is if there's a beheshiv because there was a particular kli that he designated for payment. He lent him the object, or he says, I'm going to collect from that. Yichid lo kli. So it comes out that there's no beheshiv on, no mitzvah's beheshiv on a halva. So too, he says avadim. We said karka. He says avadim. You're over below sigzal, and yet avadim ain't nigzalim. They're not part of the klal patukal. It's not going to have the halachos of gzeila as far as hashava and other things. Says the Avnei Nezer, who adin midi derav be'en. Something which is not a be'en, you're violating lo sigzal, but it's no chiyuv hashava because it's not part of the pasuk of beheshiv. So therefore, as far as Rashi is concerned, that's what you have to say. That the love of v'lo shilem doesn't go under gzelos because it's not part of the parsha of gzelos of the heshiv. So the way Rabbi Chiyo Michal Feinstein said it was because it's not a be'en and you need a ma'is gzela for the din of mumchin, of gimel mumchin. Though he's saying it, you're not going to have gimel mumchin if you don't have a din of hashav as a gzela. But the common denominator is, of course you're called a gazlin. The Gemara says, Oshek is also a violation of gezel. So that's the question, to explore Rashi more carefully. Let's see exactly where they're coming from. So we have this Gemara in Kuf Yud Aleph and Bamitzia that Oshik and Gezel are the same level of the Shnei Lavin. And yet, we have the Rambam beginning Hilchos Gzela. We have the Sheets, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, Ezel Gozel, Zok the Rambam. What's Gozel? Halokeach Mamon Ha'adam B'choska. The Ram talks about an aggressive act of forcibly taking a chafetz. That's gezel. Ezehu oshek halacha dalit. Ze sheba mamon chaveru letoch yado biratzon habaylin. You money came to you from somebody, and now the person demands it back. The gave him a shetavu who kavash a mamanetzko b'chatzka v'lo hachziro. Now the Rambam says, "O pikadon." Who was it this morning who was asking me about these two words, "O pikadon"? Someone asked, came over. So you look at the side here. There's a big tumult about these two words, whether you go with it or not. Shinui nischos in the side. You see in the Rambam in the side, the margin, the right margin. Keno b'kisbeyad, the chaser b'tfusin. Not clear. Okay. The Rambam seems to say that you have oshik by pikadon as well. Okay. So I have to leave that for another, you know, another topic, another discussion, to know what to do with it. Okay, loan, halva, oschirus, that we understand is oshek. The Rambam may have put in the pikadon here as well. And what happens? V'utovo, there's a tovia claim made on it, and you ben yachol hotzimenashu alam bekasha. This guy has the upper hand, and by my denying it, you are deprived of getting that which is coming to you. So I owe you money, wages or a loan. Avzena malo sashuk. The Ram differentiates clearly between Oshik and Geza. So the Magid Mishnah on the right brings the Gemara of Mesir Kufir Aleph. That Gemara concludes, Rava says, Zel Gezel, Zel Oshik, Vela Machilka Nakasub, Lava Lavishne Lavin. Perish, but Oshik, the Gezel, Amurin, Gabi Schiras, Dele Elmine, Amma Koko, Ishasachir, Ove, Bachamisha Shemos. You have all kinds of affairs that you get if you're a Kovis Hasachir. And including that is Losashok and Losigzo. And yet, by Schirus, you can't have any comparison when you're denying the money owed to the worker. You have no comparison to which classic idea of Gezel, Vayigzol, Esachanis Niyad HaMitzvah. You're not taking something from them. You're not giving them what you owe. So this is a question. What, on the one hand, the Rambam is defining Gezel as this and Oshik as this, and yet you have clearly an overlap. The Chinuch is Mairach here very much. The Chinuch you saw, and he gives you a little bit of a window into understanding Hashkafas HaTorah, right? The Lav of Lo Yashok, he defines it as Lo Nachzik B'meshaviyah B'yadeinu B'zulaseinu Derech Ones or Derech Tchir Bramos, something that we have belonged to somebody else, and we're not letting them get to it, have access to it. And that's a terrible thing. And that's Losasho. Ki machzik b'mamon mizulaso b'zeh ha'inyan shamarnu. Now, the way he describes it is that somehow there's a certain sense of aggressiveness in my not giving it to you. You could almost call it passive-aggressive. You have to know how much of that is really halachically critical to the definition of the lav. But that's how they're formulating it. It's the almus, the strength of it. It's the aggressiveness of the holding it back. That's how he explains it. Derech ones, b'zeh inyan nikra oshek, u'bechal oshek u'gamkin kol shechiyah v'chaver mamon mu'uyan. It means a specific amount, a specific money that's magia lo v'oshek u'kovis hasachir. Even if I never got the money from him, but I owe him the money. Kol sheyesh etzlo tviyas mamon. Not just that he, you know, something happened to roll into my field and now I'm not letting him get it. Even if he never had it, but I owe him for his work and I don't let him get what he's entitled to based on his work. That's called Oshik. For who doche also machmas almus sheyeshbo. Or kotzad ramos. There has to be some agenda here, some aggressive, devious component that seems to be part of the definition of Oshik. It has to be researched more carefully, but that's how it's presented, right? The sense of the almost, the sense of like strong-armed component, and that's Oshik. Zok the chinuch, the af, al pisha Oshik, the akzila bagneva in yinachad hu, im hayos sha maisa chog ze mize. It's a different way that it's being done. You're being a Rasha in terms of someone else's money that he's entitled to, but it can be in one way, it can be in another way. You can call it Derech Oshek, Derech Gzeira, but basically, Kavanas Shilashtan Shalikacha Adam, Mamma Mizulas Mishum Tzad. You should not be taking away what someone else's. Gufisha Bishlosha Drachim Egu, Yachsimu B'nei Adam Zeze, Partana Kasim Kuan V'Ise B'chol Echad B'vnei Atzma. Kenyan Shamba Zachar of Rach, I quote the Gemara in Kofi Lagba B'tzir, Rava Amar Zeh Orzeh Gezeh, V'lam Achilkan, Lavar B'shnei Lav. What do you get a sense in the Chinuch? Is there a definition of Oshek that's very distinct from the definition of Gezel on the most basic Pshuto Shemikra level? Nothing? But there is. In other words, it might not be relevant on a practical level in terms of understanding the technical violations. But is there something to differentiate them if I'm learning the Chumash and I want to? I mean, the Torah says, you know, lo sashok, and the Torah says lo sigzo. Is there? No. Absolutely not. It's all the same. When Torah said was sashok, the Torah was thinking about going into their house and taking something forcibly. Yeah.
No, he seems to say that even that Gzela would need it to have come from the Shus.
It would, right? So at the end, it does seem to have a, you know, again, to say the Pshuta Shumikra is its own layer. There is something to that. There is a notion called Osek. What? Or you think not? No.
It's similar.
I see. Tosis asked the Kasha here on the Gemara Rabbi Tzilkov Yud Aleph. Lama Chilkan Labishnei Lavin. So Tosa says, Tema, here, Chilkan Avu Labishnei Lavin. Lo Sasho, Lo Sigzo. So you get both of theirs. Avu Gabi Asham Gezelos, Lama Nichtavu Shneim, O Begazel, O Ashak. Back in Vayikra. Right? O Begazel, O Ashak. It's all the same. Interesting. Here, they're not going to have any practical nafkamina Labishnei Lavin. Tosa doesn't answer the question. But maybe I should do some mikra. There's a lesson here, but it doesn't really matter, and that's what the chinuch is going to get at here. He says, very interesting. You saw the chinuch. He says, so why does the Torah do that? I mean, if it's really all the same, and you're going to get both averus, so why does the Torah do this? Pirush inyan zeh, the ikra tam ufidaiti hu mishnei stad. There are two ideas of why the Torah is going to specify Oshek and Gezel as separate Lavin, even though it all boils down to the same thing and you can get both Averis for both scenarios. So just give one Lav and that's Kolo everything. You deprive the person of the money that they should have. This way, did it that way. Echad, one reason is Shekosha Ratzah Kel Baruch Hu Laharchik Menu Tavaseinu Richud Gadol. Here we're going to go as Haras Rabbos. What's the first idea? No, somebody explain it. What is he saying? Because it's, Hashem wants us to have a real sense of a taboo here. It's really something totally beyond that we should think about going there. So how does he do that? What creates that sense of how bad it is and how distant it should be from us? It gets repeated in different ways. You know, you could say something once and okay, so you get it, you don't get it, you sort of get it. You say it again in a different way, in a different angle. Nope. Understand it's, you know, it's a bad thing. You know, saying it one way, saying it another way. So the more that it gets expressed in different angles, the more that the point gets across that it's something you really have to stay away from. That's the first thing. Second idea, the old Ganu told LS Nimsa Biribo Yasharos. By having extra Averis, there's another benefit. And this is the Mishnah in Makkos, that Ratzakash Baruch Hu Zakas as Yisrael Pikach Rebem Torah Mitzvos. Now you would say, what's Torah Mitzvos mean? Mitzvos means what kind of Mitzvos? Mitzvos Haseh. We have all kinds of Mitzvos Haseh, and that's all to give us merit. No, not just Mitzvos Haseh. Hakavana Brahma Mitzvos Gama Lo Asharos. He could have communicated the same thing with one general umbrella isser that would have covered all these scenarios, and instead we talk about this and we talk about that, and it's all going to be the same. So a person is conquering the Yitzhahara for Gezel, they get Schar for not violating Gezel, they get Schar for not violating Osek, and that's Hirbelam Torah Mitzvahs. It's a very beautiful idea, and this chinuch is so classic chinuch. As he continues, he says, the Kmokin, b'chol makom sheyomru, zechon v'vracha, lava la b'harbi lavin. You find this a lot. It's all to get you more lavin. What does it mean? Hashem is in for you? No, Hashem is like this... this agenda to try to catch you, gotcha. There's another life, another life, another life. That's what it means. That's for sure. Tain the first adover. She in the first chaliga. She yirtzakel love ba'aliga al briyosav with a pretext. Ukach, Shayir Bahanokam Alemah. So now I can take my vengeance for all these, you know, all these big laundry list of Averis. Chas v'shalom. Ki chafetz Hashem Baruch Hu u'baruch shmo l'zakos b'yosef lo l'chayiv. And this is such an important idea. Chinuch says it so many times. It's Kadosh Baruch Hu's desire is to give us merit. Avo yizari zosem ziruz achaziruz l'man yilmedu yikhu musar v'yizku v'yisrachka min Averis chus rab. The more that we're able to overcome the temptation to the Avera, we get more schar because we overcome temptation for Gezel, for Oshek, for everything, for all those things. And in a certain way, I just add here, you can look at the Chinuch in other places, and I think in Los Achmodos, it's Ave, you know, this is more for the Sugis later, those who do Bekiyas, the later Prokim in Sanhedrin, 7th Parak especially, deals with Bnei Noach. So what you find by Bnei Noach is, even though you have 7 mitzvahs Bnei Noach, which overlap in many ways with Klal Yisrael's Tayag, but you'll find the following difference, that what is considered to be one mitzvah by Bnei Noach, if you parallel that for us, you can identify numerous mitzvahs that would go, that would correspond to that one mitzvah. So they have Gilui Arayis. So Gilui Arayis can mean all the Arayis that are also Bnei Noach. Okay, there may be differences, but there are a lot of them that are similar. But the Isser is lo sikrivu to this relation, to that relationship, to that illicit, that incestuous relationship. It's all under one of Gilui Arayis. And what do we have in Tayag mitzvahs? What's the point? That's exactly the idea. Lefikach hibrim Torah mitzvahs. Klal Yisrael, our relation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is that our mitzvahs are specific, and therefore, the more specific, the more schar, the more that it recognizes that's our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Bnei Noach have a relationship, but it's not to the same extent. And it isn't that dimension of Hirbilam Torah Mitzvah. So therefore, it can be a general lav, and that has its parameters, which very much can correspond to mitzvahs of Klal Yisrael. But for us, there are specific mitzvahs, many mitzvahs that line up, corresponding to the one mitzvah that you might have by the Shem mitzvahs. Yeah?
So according to the first answer, the Athena, would Lo Salim follow under that also?
So that's what the Gemara says, that you can have 5 lavin, or 4 or 5 lavin by Oshik Schasachir. When you're Oshik Schasachir, you're also being tolin. You're also, you know, delaying. You've delayed, once you go past that window, you delay the payment, and then you don't pay him. So you get a flavor of Osai, of this inyan, of Oshik and Gezel overlapping. And yet, you know, lava b'shnei lavin. Yes?
I could extend Chinuch's question like one step further. I'm not sure someone does this, but I mean, everybody probably falls under the Avodah Kamocha. I mean, you're supposed to love your fellow, so obviously.
So what do you need mitzvahs like?
Yeah.
You know, how shape to shiva him? Right? In other words.
He may have mitzvahs that say, but not
yet. Yeah. I suppose so. You know, you can have a kiyum of specific mitzvahs, and you can have a larger kiyum of Avas Hashem, and Yiras Hashem, and Avodah Kamocha within other mitzvahs. Right? There are branches, and there are trees, you know, and there's, you know, the bark, and the mitzvahs can be lined up and correspond to each other, and they remain, you know, they can be generated. We learned this morning in Rabbi Yeruchim in Das Torah, Lashon Hara, according to the Ramban, it's a specific targeted Aveira to remember Maisa Miriam for the sake of not speaking Lashon Hara. Ramban says it has to be that way. It could be the Torah wouldn't have a direct mitzvah warning us against Lashon Hara. It's such a terrible Aveira. Wait a second. There is a lav of Lashon Hara. And the Ramban doesn't say on the Rambam that shouldn't count for Lashon Hara. It's Vechivas and Lashon Hara. And it will see Sashem Hashav includes Lashon Hara. So what do you mean there's no mitzvah? There are mitzvahs. And according to Rashi, the Pasuk says, don't get saras. Here's a good idea. Don't get saras. Like Miriam, don't speak Lashon Hara. So that's also speaking to us like a mitzvah. Torah gives us an Eitzah Tova. That doesn't matter? The answer is, yeah. Eitzah Tova matters. And a lav of Rechilos and Lashon Hara together also matters. And a lav of Osis Hashem Hashav, which has a lot of different ideas, including what matters. But it's not the same as if you have a targeted Eitzah specifically and exclusively about this Inyan Lashon Hara. So the Ramban's kasha would be, I want to have a specific mitzvah on this very issue. So again, yeah, so you can say that there's obviously a lot of different levels to kiyumim and mitzvahs. Yeah, we're getting a little bit of field here. Yeah.
I suppose if both the You're doing the Maasek Zeila, but you don't have something like, there's no Heshiv Tashiva.
Very good, excellent. So now let's take Davni Nezer approach for a second, even though we're going to have a problem with the Rashi Bava Metzia. But what's he saying? Lo bevelo shirim is a violation of Lusigzo, but it's not enough for what? But in terms of Chiyav Hashava, it's not enough to fit into the category of Zelos for the Mishnah. And why not? So presumably because, so why not? So you say, because it's not a Maisik Zela. It's not a Maisik Zela. So Lo Sigzo is enough even if it's not a Maisik Zela. Oshik is not a Maisik Zela. But it's enough to be called Lo Sigzo for the violation. And what about Kofer B'Mil, Kofer B'Pikadon? Why is that better? Why is it part of Zelos? Okay, so what are you going to say? What makes it more of a gzela? So you say like the Maram says, it's a be'en. It's a chefetz be'en, so that fits more. That's halach over there. Just by the way, and as far as the search for gzela, there's another avera that exists by kofar bin milba and kofar b'kadon, both equally. That's the Mefurish Rabbah we saw in Hilchos Shavuos. What avera is violated by kofar bin milba and kofar b'kadon? What's a chachashi? Right? And yet, you kasha le'edus by kofar bin milba, right? But pashtus is an ishtamute. So what? So there's I would say on the question that I asked last night to the, you know, to Rashi Yeshiva, would there be lo sechachashu? I think it's pashtus, there would be lo sechachashu. Sigzo we can clear, you know, but ishtamute notwithstanding, lo sechachashu I think it should be. So again, there's a lot of overlap with these inyanim. So, where else do we look to Rashi on this question? The way we're assuming now, so there is a lav, there is an isuk zela by Rava Beloshilin. Then again, there are various Rashis that seem to look at zela in a very one-dimensional way. So what is that? For example, a couple of Rashis who gave you to look at, Rosh Hashanah. The case in the Mishnah is Psulei Edus. So mentions Misachik Bekuvia, people who play cards. It's mentioned later in Sanhedrin 2, Psulei Edus. And Rashi explains one chat in the Gemara is what would be the problem of Misachik Bekuvia, that you are stealing in a sense, because Asmachta Lokanu, when you're playing cards, whatever you're playing, you're gambling, so you don't really have a full kavana to part with your money, and therefore when you're Zochen, someone else's money, the winner is really stealing from the person who technically agreed to the terms of the game, but they really are not giving the full das. That's what asmachta means. You think you're going to win, so therefore you say, yeah, whoever wins gets whatever. But so in a certain sense, there's a certain element of gzela there. That could be why you're puzzled. But Rashi says there on the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, that are you really puzzled d'oraisa or you're puzzled drabbanon? What does Rashi say? Drabbanon. And why? Why not d'oraisa? Because it's not vayigzo sachanis miyana mitzvah.
Isn't that gizor b'rabbanon? Isn't asmachta l'kanya gizor b'rabbanon only? To begin with?
Why should it be? Because it's not vayigzo sachanis.
Asmachta is kanya for staka and a dish. So the daraita, that's a kinyan, asmachta.
Asmachta is a sugya. It's a sugya. It's a big sugya. But Rashi's words are, "Asmachta l'kana harein gazgan midrabban midaraisa in a kori gazgan chotev miyad ish." If you look at Rashi later in Sanhedrin, similar language, nun zayin amid aleph. Rashi later, dibra maschil. The kovis chasachir. Yeah, Dibra Maschil, is it? The Kobes Chasachir, that eight lines from the bottom. Not negated the whole Gemara there, it's had to do with the Bnei Noach Sugis. But Rashi says, the Geza Lohavi, Ela Bechotev Dover Miyad Chaver, Kedam Babakama Ben Meruba, Mikra, Dveizas Ches Miyad Mitzvi. No, so what do you see? Both Rashis. Gezel is Chotev miyad chaver. No, then again, there's a seemingly a stira. There's a Rashi in Gittin, seems to say otherwise. The Sugi in Gittin is discussing Prusbel, right? So we have the Din of Shmitas Ksafim, and we have the Prusbel that was used to override Shmitas Ksafim. The Gemara discusses Shmita Bizman Azeh, it could be only Drabanan, and then the whole idea of Shmitas Ksafim, therefore, would be Drabanan. So the Gemara poses a question. The Gemara asks that if you assume that Shmita Bizman Azeh is only Drabanan, so the Chachamim are saying that the Mal that can't get his money after Shmita, after Shviyas, even though Midoraisa, the Lova still owes the money, and the Malva is not going to be able to collect his money, and the Lova will be able to keep the money of the Malva. Midoraisa, that right, that's going to be. And the Gemara asks, "V'tikta Rabbanan umig amidi the Midoraisa lo meshamet hashviz. Midoraisa shviz wouldn't be meshamet because bizman hazeh shviz is Rabbanan. V'tikta Rabbanan the meshamet." Look, that's the question of the Gemara. The Gemara gives two answers. Sheva al tasehu, Abaye says, the Chacham can do that if it's passive, so they can be oker the Torah, so to speak, b'sheva al tasehu. Rava gives a different answer, hefker based on hefker, the Chacham can declare mamonis to be yours, not yours, and it follows that, therefore, the money is where the Chacham say it should be, and therefore, the mamonis is a function of the Chachamim declaring who owns what money. What's the kasha of the Gemara? How could the Chachamim institute a din shmitas ksafim drabanan midaraisa, the lova owes the money, and the Chacham is saying that the lova doesn't have to pay the money that he owes? So what is the consequence of that if the lova doesn't pay that money that he owes? So Rashi fleshes out the Gemara's kasha. Rashi's words are v'amar rabanan. Rashi says v'amar madidashamet v'nimtza halova gazlan al pihem. And so what we have here, the Lova is in effect a gazlin by the mouth of who? The Rabbanan, the rabbis. How can the rabbis make the Lova into a gazlin? Because if he's not going to be paying his chov, that's gzeila. What's the problem here? It's not that Yisroel Sachanis Miyad HaMitzvi, and all the other Rashis say that's what's needed for it to be gzeila. Here it's a Lova v'lo shilin. It's a love of a low shilin. That's what it means. A chacham is saying, you don't have to pay the loan. Rashi says he's a gazlan al piyah. That's a stira that the Mirbina, other achronim wonder within Rashi. No, what would the Avni, if you don't know any other Rashis, what would the Avni Nezer say in response to this kasha? Shame. Not just shame, but shame. There's an iser lav, there is. When the Rashi says in the other places it's not gzela, Rashi means in terms of what? In terms of the other inyanim of gezel. Like Hashava, for example. Chiv Onsin, Kofar B'Pikadon. You have to know where to fit that. There is a Chiv Onsin over there. Maybe that's quarter Maisik Zela, somewhat, because there is a Kasuv. But Oshek, Tzchas Sachir. Some other way it's not called Zela, but a lav of Gezel it is. The biggest problem, though, is there's another Rashi. That's the Rashi in Bava Metzia and Eilu Metzias, right? What did that Rashi seem to say? That not only is it a question of details within Gzela, but this halacha, that there has to be a Maisa Gzela, actually relates to the Shem Yisr itself. Right? What is that Rashi? Person picks up something before Yiyush, so now he could be a Meshav, he could be a person who has a halacha of Meshav Aveda. He has to return it. He picked it up. And what? He didn't have intention yet to steal. Could be he's going to want to return it. Subsequent to his initial taking of the chefetz, he decided to steal it. So now the question is there going to be a low sigzo? Now the Gemara says that if after Yiyush he decided to steal it, after Yiyush, so there would be no longer violation of what? Of Losigzo? Or Losuchos Ale? Would just be Hashiv Teshivim. not to go lifnei. He sees a guy walking the street and the money drops out of his pocket. He takes it lifnei yirsa, am nasku gozla. So that's the case where he mamish took it from the very beginning to get go for gzela. Over the kulan, sigzo, shef teshivim, losachus alein, gave it back achayirsh. It's just a matana, but he did the yisur. He took it lifnei yirsh, am nasku achzira, and after yirsh, this kavin gozla. So now he only intended to steal it after yirsh. Then over mishmar shef teshivim. Now, the case that I'm asking you is not exactly in the Gemara. What if it was Niskaven Lagozla before Yish? But after you picked it up. Everyone hear the case. You picked it up, you didn't think you're going to steal it. And then, at some point later, you decide to steal it. The person wasn't Miyayish yet. So Tosus, you'll see, Tosus and Rashi seem to disagree on this. Rashi says, in this case of the Gemara, over Mishim Hashif Teshivim, but this case of Gemara is really, we use Niskavin afterwards for Gzela, after years. But Rashi doesn't seem to differentiate. Rashi says, Lo Sigza Lo Shayach Ela B'Shas Netila. Lo Sigza is only Shayach B'Shas Netila because the Yigza Zachayas Miyad HaMitzvi. Tosus here, Diva Maschel Eina Over, says v'im toma my leka labdelo sigzo imishum de betera asaliyade came to your hands betera, you'll got to pick up a lost object. Halo bekoves chasachir ikalav kedama perkezo neshach. There's a labdelo sigzo by what? Bekoves chasachir. So would be a lav just because it came to you betera, you had a right to take it. But now you're thinking to steal. Yishlomar that says you miskaven ligzo lo nisiyishu avayin. Then all right, you'd be lo sigzo. Just like Kovis Lazoga, here you were only miskavein ligzo after years. That's how Tosfos says, because that's what says in the Gemara. But Rashi's svara is not limited to the case of the Gemara. Rashi's svara is, well, sigzo is only at the time of Netila. So now it sounds like even the lav itself of lo sigzo cannot exist if there was no maisa gzela, that the maisa gzela was with intention of gzela. So love of Oshilang Lachora should not be a Losigzo at all. So how is it different to come to Hasachir? And what about the other Rashi? What about the Rashi in Gid? Right. These are some of the sticky issues here. No? That's really hard to give a real good answer. Just give you a couple of svaras and maybe a novel reading of a Rashi here that I saw, and you'll take it or leave it, but we'll see, you know, what you'll do with it. Yeah, Ben.
In the Gemara, where it's talking about, like, picking it up before you, after you, why is it that when you are starting to... You're coming to steal it. Before you,
Pick it up, before you. So that seems to be the case of Rashi would not call a sigzo. As long as b'shas netila, your das wasn't gzela.
Right.
Even if you changed your mind before years, but that doesn't make you a gazim. That's not by yizul sachanis miyalamitz.
No, there's only a case where you over on all three.
Okay, that's when you originally took it, the sheng gzela. That's easy.
So, but why are you? Why is it even when you return it after Yeush?
That's for that Gemara. Yisur the Amad Amad. Okay, that's for that Gemara. It's hard enough. You know, just I want to just extract one. Yeah.
According to this Rashi, how do we understand the Rashi's intention, which also mentions Kofi Bikadon and Shalach Boyah?
Right. So. Obviously, Shloach Yad is easier. Shloach Yad is, you could say, like a Vigzos Achanis. I mean, you did take it. There's a Chiddush to the extent that it was the Hetera Asaliyade, that the original Chafetz came into your possession, the Hetera. But you can certainly see that when you are Shloach Yad in that Pikadon that is meant to be for that person, and you're holding it for that person, and you take it for yourself, that you can. You can put it into the category, if you will, of Igzo Sachanis on some level. You can. Okay, it's a Chiddush HaTorah, yeah, but that's what the Torah is teaching us. Kofer B'Kadon is a Chiddush HaTorah. It's not a Chai Ba'Onsin. So again, so it somehow will add up to something of a gzeila. And the Maram calls it a ki'il gozlata. I think they bring from Rav Chaim Asvar that the kfir of the Beis Din is like a maisa gzeila. I don't know what to do with those words. I'm not sure what to do with those words. The kfir of the Beis Din is like a maisa gzeila. Don't know. But then again, kofar b'nova is not. Because again, there's no be'en here. But you also see Rashi very often talking about gzeila is defined as that, right? Okay. Of course, shleach yad is shleach yad, and it's also God's going to cope because it's also God's. Where's the government below shleach yad? So, first of all, in terms of the case in Gidden, yeah, please, Achim.
Why can we say that in our Mishnah it says gzeilot v'haralot, which is sort of a little more of a broad definition of gezel, not necessarily exactly the classic definition of specifically gezel, rather gzeilot, like all different gzeilot and all different types of.
So you're going
forms.
In the other direction. In other words, right. Before we said that you know, you could have a little zigzag, but it could be it won't match the level that we standard that we need for gzeilot. So you're saying the other way. It could be that it doesn't fit in other ways, but it could fit enough for our mission. Yeah. Go for Bikkun. There's an example like that. It fits into gzeilot. It becomes it. Yeah. I mean, look, the Ram, the Oshek is, the Gemara says, it's the Lab of gzeilot. Kofar b'kadon, it doesn't say except that two words in the Rambam. Two words in the Rambam maybe say that it's a lav of gezel too. If you read a lav of oshek, and oshek is gezel. By the way, that's the minchas chinuch, by the way. Look at the minchas os dalet on the side of the chinuch. Take a look. Hinei mevor b'kan. See os dalet, the first few lines here. Then he has a kasha on this, because Mark Suvis, but just what he assumes. Mevor b'kan, see it? The call me she'eino rotza l'shalim halva over b'lav de lo sashok u'divei harav ha'machaber over gamkin al lo sigza. So he says, it seems clear that if you don't pay a loan, you could violate lo sashok and you violate lo sigza by extension. And then he brings the Gemara and Ksuvis, and you have to know what to do with all that. And yet Rashi doesn't seem to go quite that way. But yet the other Rashi says that by being talking that you're not going to have to pay the loan. Now, maybe like this. I want to say two svaras. First of all, in terms of the Gemara Gid, again, this is not a full answer to everything. This is a thought. You can take it to the next level. In terms of the Gemara Gid, Rabosa, yeah? When a person is a lover below Shireim, so what changes? You're just not paying. You're not paying, you're not paying, you're not paying, you're not paying. Where's the Gzela? Can you pinpoint the moment of gzeila here? Good, you were kofar b'nova. So you say you're not going to pay. But you might say you didn't pay. What makes the case in getting a little bit more shayach to call gzeila? The chachamim are declaring this debt doesn't need to be paid. In other words, you have no right to tovei anymore. Mr. Malveh, you've lost out. Midaraisa, Lova owes the Malva money. The Chachamim are basically saying Malva is not entitled to that money. Lova can keep money of the Malva, and end of story. Lova v'loshilem, it's hard to call anything the end of the story. He's just not paying. And another day goes by, he doesn't pay. Another day goes by, and he was kofar, and he said, I'm not paying. But at the end of the day, there's always tomorrow, another day. The Chachamim here are creating a certain... how should we say it, a certain formal ending to that process, which basically lets the loaf off the hook. Maybe that's relevant. Maybe that's why Rashi can say, Nimsa lova gazla na yadeim. It's a thought. I don't know how much credence to give to it, but there's a chiluk that you can see in that particular case. Then I want to say something else. This I saw in one of some Rashi Shiva and Eretz Yisrael. Svara, which is a chak, a tremendous nature. I don't know quite what to do with it, but it's a very original way of reading Rashi. And I'll tell it to you, I'll share it with you. Back to the Rashi here. The one Rashi can say it in different, turn it around different ways. Everybody in the world so far has assumed that when Rashi says in the end, Avalava Veloshilem Lomikri Gazlin, Demuvalot Son Nitna, What is Rashi discussing? What case? Kofer b'nova. Notice there was that in Torah, and Mr. Malvis says to the Loiva, you owe me $100. And Mr. Loiva says, I don't owe you $100. He said it the Beis Din, and that's the parallel to Kofer b'pikadon. That is, in fact, a gazlin and part of the Mishnah's din of gzeilus b'shlosha mumchin, and this kofer b'milva is not, and now we'll figure out why. Ishtamute, no ishtamute, the maram, whatever else. But what is striking about the lashon of Rashi? What does Rashi say? Lava v'lo shilen. What doesn't Rashi say? Kofer b'milva. Now, if you want to contrast it to the beginning of the Rashi, kofer b'pikado, you should say kofer b'milva. That's what we're discussing. Rashi doesn't say that. If you want to use the case of Bikadin to contrast love of Eloshilem, you should get to the beginning of the story by Bikadin. He gave him a Bikadon, and then he didn't give it back. The two bookends of the Rashi are not really parallel to each other in their contrast. The Kofer b'Pikadon is what? Is Kofer b'Pikadon. And the other case is love of Eloshilem. That's a diuk. So, this Sefer that I was looking at says the following chidush, pshat in Rashi, that Rashi is not using love of Roshilein as the foil to kofer b'pikadon. Yet Rashi is using love of Roshilein as the foil, listen carefully, to chote miyad chaver. Chote miyad chavero, that's the classic zeila, right? No. So what's Rashi saying? Well, there's a maisik zeila in the sense that you took something from the person for yourself. So a love of a loshilein, you took money and you didn't end up paying it. If you didn't pay it, then retroactively, we should say that there's a maisik zeila. What should be rendered as a ma'isek zeila? The taking of the money. Because you're taking it for yourself and you didn't pay. Now, he gave it to you thinking you're going to pay. So in those terms is what he gave it to you. The extent that you didn't observe the terms of what he was thinking. So the ma'is of Egidu Sachanis can be attributed to the love. So Rashi, but that's not going to be a zeila, even though love of Eloshim. Why? Because since you had a right to spend it at the times, so you can't retroactively view that taking of the money from the malveh as the ma'isek zeila to view this love of Hashem as a zeila. So that Rashi's discussion of Lord Sunnitna is not centering around why a kofer de novah is not pasul eidus in the same way kofer because it is, for whatever the reason, ishtamute or the maram. It's directly speaking to the lover, the initial lover, that maybe should be retroactively viewed as the Vayigzol Sachanis. And so Rashi's contrast is not for Kofer B'Pikadon, it's to the case right afterwards of Choti Miyad Chaver. There's a lot of benefits to this pshat. I mean, according to this, you don't have to deal with the Ishtamute question, you know, what about Ishtamute? No, Rashi's talking about love of, not Kofer B'Pikadon, Milveh, and Ishtamute. It's different. Rashi's talking about Kofer, it was never Kofer B'Milveh here. A guy was lover of Lo Shilein, and he's a gazan by Lo Shilein because he was lover, and he didn't give back what he took. So that taking becomes a zeila. So the whole Ishtamute issue is a murisha. That's not our discussion. And then Rashi is really trying to explain why doesn't this fit the classic zeila that Rashi always defines as classic zeila, which is the case he just mentioned right before it. I don't know what to say, Rabosei. I don't know. You're probably as dizzy as I am, and you hear such a pshat. It's not the way anyone else looked at this Rashi, that's for sure. I'll call upon him, yeah.
Could this pshat work with Bav Metziach of Avamabiz, the Rashi there?
So what do you gain with this? Very much. I guess that's another fringe benefit. In other words, in a Hanami, Rashi could stick to his guns and hold that if there's no Maisek Zela, then there's no Ravel Sigzo. You still have to deal with Kufiyat Aleph in Bar Mitzia or Sashok. Okay, that we haven't solved. But at least Rashi is consistent, because Rashi never was raising the issue of Gzela without a Maisa. Rashi wanted to have a Maisa Gzela in a love of Lo Shile. Lo Yodea, I don't know. I don't know who's first, but
according to this pshat, what's the difference between borrowing money and borrowing a chayfetz and not giving it back?
So I guess with a chayfetz, why is a chayfetz any different? Why does Rashi have to speak that out by a chayfetz?
Right,
could be that the difference is as follows. Kofar, by a pikadon, I was never taking it for myself. So it was
going with the Rashi in the
here I'm giving you money, and then you're taking his thing for you. But the answer is that's the saving grace because you have a right to use it. So it's a
show. According to Rabbi Moshe Akavah, it's the same exact thing. If you pick up an object and there's no theft, there's no theft until unless it's shat hilah, which is the same exact thing here. In which case, why would Rashi go out of his way to sell the dimla veil?
No. I guess once you have Rashi here, so then it becomes the same thing over there.
So why is it the same dimla veil atanit now?
That's the reason why it's not going to call it my
sixth day. There's no difference between the Levena Heifetz.
Well, why wouldn't the same issue have to be discussed by Kofar Bikadon? I think there's a chiluk, but let you think about it. There could be a chiluk here. Yeah.
But with this answer, if we're limiting Rashi's definition of Zela to actually be like an action, how does that help with the Gemara Kitzur where...
No, so I'm not saying this. They have to think of something else over there. I'm not. Look, not everything is. We said that the fact that it's a fedek on play, the chum said you never have to pay. That makes it like it's over. So that maybe could make it more.
It's not a mice.
It's not a mice.
No, but like if we're gonna say that.
It's not because of chanis. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, there are many loose ends. We will say. I'm agreeing. Yeah. Yeah.
Are we saying the Xela is a mafreya when it comes to the
that? In other words, not that it is, but that's what Rashi was anticipating that you might want to say. In other words, that's Rashi's preempting. Rashi's preempting. The reason why you can't say such a thing is because of the Xela. Again, it's a novel. It's a novel reading of Rashi. I'm not denying that. It's just it has benefits to it, but it's not the pashtus way to read Rashi. But the diyukim, I think, that lead to this pshat, I understand. In other words, lava velo shirem is not the same as kofar b'milven. Everyone is reading it as the same thing. Why did Rashi change his language from kofar b'pikadon to lava velo shirem? That's what's pushing in the favor of such a pshat. Okay. At the end of the day, it's not, okay. It doesn't have to mean that this has to be the way to read Rashi. It's, yeah.
Cool. According to this, kofar b'milve would need three mumchen. You'd pair it with kofar b'tachon. The second
approach. So a kofar b'milve should need three mumchen. According to this kasha. In other words, let's go like this. Rashi has to tell me that lava below shirem is not gzelos. It's not gzelos. So if it would have been gzelos, what would have needed? Three mumchen. Rashi says it's not. It's hodos v'alvos.
Yeah, but saying regular kofar b'milve, if he did not.
Oh, according to this, no, we don't know. No, Rashi could be actually have to speak that out. That was so obvious.
It's so obvious that it would be mumchen.
No. You mean who says? Who says no? There was certainly no ma'isa gzeila there. Or maybe you could say better. I'll say
ma'isa that kofar b'kadon would have.
No, that's not true. The Maram explained kofar b'kadon is at the end here. Different. But I'll tell you there's something interesting. There's a question which I'm not going to get into, but especially the Yerushalmi connected to this question. The question is like this. We have Mamish a minute. But tomorrow, first thing, we're going to the next part of the Mishnah, each case, and we'll get into maybe Kedusha Chodesh. I'll cope on him just to leave you with this. The question that many Achronim raise is the following. Let it be Gzela, Rabosai. But where do you lose the shame Hava? And if similar to like we discussed with Shomer, right? Where do we lose the earlier basis? If you can go to Hadyotos as Halva, then even if you want to classify Lava below Shirem as Gzela, but let Kofar b'milve be a let's say Rashi is discussing Kofar b'milve. So Kofar b'milve is a what? Is a Gazlin. But let the Malve come to him as a Love and collect with Hadyotos. Why do I need Rashi to tell me that it's not Gzela? Let it be Gzela, but where did I... I mean, this is Esther's Kasha, the very next paragraph. Let it still be Halva too, and if it's Halva, I can go to Hedjoto. So why did Rashi need to say the whole Torah that it's not Gzela? Let it be Gzela, but it still could be Halva. But you see, according to this Pshat, the Kasha doesn't begin. Because Rashi wanted to be gzeila mitzad, the original handing over. So there's nothing to talk about. That the whole thing with chil by itself is gzeila. If it's a kofer b'milva discussion, then the question has to be dealt with, and you can answer it. But if the question of Rashi was that it's, by definition, the halva itself is a gzeila, then there's nothing to say that it's still halva. The halva itself that you didn't pay is gzeila. So then, of course, Rashi had to tell you that it's not so. All right, good.
Yeah. Stop. Stop. What? Stop. Okay.